North Carolina, it's been relatively quiet as far as our increase in cases. A small uptick, but not too alarming yet. Seems to be that the rural counties seem to be having more of an increase than more of the urban counties. So here in Forsyth County, we've been right over the last 14 days running between 12 and 13 per 100,000, which is a comfortable zone. It's not going up, but it's not going down either. But some of the counties around us have increased a little bit. So as I've been saying all along, I think we're going to have a bit of a wave here in April following some of the break time. People are traveling a bit. People are going out to a bit more in restaurants and just getting out and about. Plus, we do have some variants around here in North Carolina. It's mostly the B117, the so-called UK variant, which is a bit more transmissible. So that might be contributing a little bit too. So I don't think it's going to be a huge wave here in April. So maybe we can call it a wavelet. But I think we will have some increase in cases. So now's not the time to let the mask go. We need to keep wearing that. We need to keep watching our getting together with large groups of people and watch the bubble fusions between friends and household members. One thing that's going to make things different if we have an increase in cases here in April is that our hospitals won't be affected as much, because across the state now, we have vaccinated about 60% of our over the age of 65 people. And these are the people who tend to get hospitalized more. In fact, before vaccine, roughly 80% of all of our admissions were people who were over the age of 60. So that we've protected this vulnerable group to a large extent, not totally, but to a large extent. Our healthcare facilities shouldn't be as stressed as they were in January if we have an increase in cases. Nevertheless, if you have an increase in cases, you will have some increase in hospitalizations and you will have an increase in deaths, even though it may be blunted compared to the vaccine day, pre-vaccine days. So let's hang in there for a couple months still. I mean, we're not asking for a lot. A couple months, if we can get till summertime, and keep wearing masks and keep kind of laying low, rather than have 30 people at the backyard barbecue, make it 12, and stay outside, and we'll get through this without too much trouble. The overall vaccination in North Carolina now, here in Forsyth County, we're running about probably 25% of people are fully vaccinated. That means two shots, if it's a two-shot series or 2 weeks out from Johnson & Johnson. So that's pretty good. So we're upwards, getting up close to 40% now who've gotten one shot. So we got to keep plugging away at it. We're going to enter a little bit of a different time here as far as vaccination goes. Because up until now, it's been supply has been the problem, and getting an appointment has been a problem. And as we go forward from here, we're going to have to start working at getting at the procrastinators. I'll get my shot sometime, but this week I'm a little busy, that group of people. And then the people we need to help understand how safe the vaccines are and how really good they are at preventing COVID disease. And the big message that I'd like to get out to people who haven't got vaccinated yet and are still thinking about it, there's three really good reasons to get vaccinated. One is selfish. Protect yourself. And these vaccines do that. For preventing serious disease, all three vaccines are almost 100%. Preventing deaths and hospitalizations, even better than that. So protect yourself. That's a good reason. Two is protect their family and the people around you. You know, If you are protected, then there's a lot less likely chance you're going to give it to somebody else. In fact, we're starting to get more information now on vaccines and transmissibility of virus after vaccination, and it's pretty darn low. So protect your family, protect the people you live with, protect your friends. If you're young and you like to socialize, protect the people you socialize with. And then lastly is protect your community at large. You're one component, one person more, getting towards herd immunity, and that's what's going to really keep the virus at bay. So there's three great reasons to get vaccinated. You may get a little sore afterwards. Maybe 15% of people will have a fever for about 24 hours or less. Take some Tylenol, take some Motrin if that happens. But beyond that, there's really no serious side effects of vaccine. Some good data is coming out now. Pregnant women, not only, as I've been saying all along, I think we would have data at some point that pregnant women would be protected, and it would be very protective in that group of people, and that the antibodies that they make would protect their newborn baby from COVID as well. And the antibodies that are in their breast milk will protect their breastfeeding baby. And guess what? The studies show that. So if you're pregnant, talk to your doctor about getting vaccinated. I think it's a good idea. Some more information about duration of immunity following vaccination that's come out in the last week. Paper in Nature, a paper in Science, and a paper in JAMA. These are all very good journals, by the way. That the messenger and RNA vaccines, it looks like immunity is at least 6 months long, probably longer. Just this morning, a news report, not yet seen the paper, and it hasn't been peer-reviewed, but data from Pfizer's vaccine for the people who were early on in the trials, which is now about 8 months, 9 months out, that real life vaccine efficacy is about 92% for getting COVID at all, and about 95% for serious disease. So immunity seems to be robust from those vaccines. Now, if we find out that by 9 months, 10 months, that vaccine immunity starts to drop, would we need a booster? Yes, we probably would. But we don't know that yet. In fact, so far the data would suggest that immunity from vaccination is going to be pretty robust and long-lasting. How long? I can't say. The other thing is that we're finding out that as time goes on, that the vaccines are better against the variants than what we had feared earlier on. And some data from the Pfizer vaccine, that same study that got released this morning, is that it seems to be pretty good for protecting against disease from the B.1.3.5 variant. And for those of you who are followers of variant numbers, that's the South African one, which does tend to dodge natural immunity somewhat. So that's a good reason that if you've had COVID, you can get vaccinated anyway, boost a bit, and also spread out those antibodies to cover some of the variants. So I would suggest people who've had COVID in the past that as soon as they've recovered from it and are feeling well and they're out of quarantine time, go get a vaccine, boost that immunity, and make it work for you. If you're looking for a vaccine appointment, here's some pointers. Because a lot of people are eligible to get vaccine now here in North Carolina, starting the last 7th of April, I think it is, just about everyone can go get vaccinated. In fact, everyone can get vaccinated unless you're under the age of 16. And so a lot of people wanting vaccine, a lot of people out there. And there's more vaccine available now, and so be persistent, because what happens is if you're a vaccination provider, all of a sudden you find out the state says, you know, we're going to give you an extra 1,000 doses this week. So you open up a bunch of appointments. And so all of a sudden these appointments just appear like out of the sky, And then people don't know it because they checked 2 days ago and there wasn't anything online. And then they kind of lose hope. But keep at it. Check every day, because every day there's appointments opening up. If you don't like doing it online, if you're not into the computers, for our health system, you can dial 70-COVID, make an appointment, and you actually don't have to be a Wake Forest patient. We take all comers to get vaccinated. So keep at it, be persistent, and get your vaccine. What about our kids? I think a lot of people are excited Pfizer sent out a press release. Haven't actually seen the study yet, but sent out a press release. 2,400 kids between the ages of 12 and 15 got vaccinated, and guess what? The vaccine worked, predictable, and the side effects were about the same as in adults. A little bit of soreness, occasionally a fever. The fact that it worked so well that there were zero people who were in the vaccine arm who got COVID. So that's pretty darn good. So it seems that the younger you are, the better the vaccine works. And that goes along with data we've had otherwise as well. When will we start being able to immunize kids? Well, we got to get this data into the FDA, and then it'll be initially an emergency use authorization for that age group with Pfizer's vaccine. Moderna is a little bit further behind in the trial, and that'll follow afterwards. So I'm thinking probably late spring, early summer, we'll be able to start vaccinating our 12 to 15-year-old group. And so by the end of the summer, they should be done. We really want to encourage that age group to get vaccinated. Why? Because they go to middle school and high school. And we want to have that group of people vaccinated because it's a very social group of kids. And we want them to have as much of a normal high school experience during their fall semester as possible. The more kids that get vaccinated, the more normal that experience will be. Under 12 kids, we're going to have to be a little bit more patient because we have to find the right doses of these vaccines, so you have to do dose ranging studies. Takes a little bit more time, so I would say probably sometime after Christmas we might be thinking maybe we'll give it as a Christmas present. I'm not sure how many six-year-olds would think that a shot is a good Christmas present, but you know, it would be for the parents, wouldn't it? So we'll see. But I'm really predicting they'll be safe and have fantastic efficacy in that group as well. So a little bit about our kids. The other things going on, we're doing a neat little study here in Winston-Salem with Winston-Salem State University and Wake Forest University. Called the Prevent COVID U Study, and involving vaccination and seeing how well it works in that group of people. We're doing pretty well in getting our students vaccinated in the colleges here. I've really been encouraged that vaccine acceptance has been real high in that group. That'll make their college life experiences a lot better as we go into the summer sessions and into the fall. Travel. I wanted to bring something up about travel. Travel is getting to be a bit complicated, particularly international travel, if you want to do it. There's a few things you have to think about if you're contemplating international travel. First of all, how comfortable are you with traveling internationally? Because a lot of the world right now is not as far as along as the United States. Believe it or not, the U.S. is number three in the world as far as getting their population vaccinated, which is really pretty cool. Europe's further behind. Europe's having a bit of a wave right now. Each country in Europe's a little bit different as far as their restrictions go for travelers entering. If you're contemplating a safari in Africa, there are countries in Africa that are having issues. And most of the virus circulating in Africa is the South African variant now, B.1.3.5, and which natural immunity from COVID doesn't work as well. And then Asia is doing a lot better as far as cases go, but a lot of those, except for India anyway, but a lot of those countries are so restrictive now about entry, you won't get in. So if you're contemplating doing a little bit of international travel, here's what you need to do first. Get vaccinated yourself. And if you have any travel companions, you're going to want to get them vaccinated as well. Make sure you keep your card, because a lot of these countries are going to require some sort of vaccine proof for entry at some point. Europe's talking about it right now. And that maybe it'll be on a cell phone app, and maybe just paper will count. What probably won't count will be having had COVID in the past, even though you more likely than not have immunity for getting reinfected. A lot of these countries aren't going to accept that. The second thing you need to do is check with the embassy of the country you want to visit and or their websites and find out what do you need to get in. Most places require testing within 72 hours of departure, and then some will require testing upon entry into the country, even though you were tested on departure. Seems kind of crazy, right? Get tested before an 8-hour flight, get tested afterwards. And then some will require, despite all that, even a quarantine period, most of which, if you do the testing, is 5 days. And the reason why is we have a study that was just finished now that shows that if you get tested before you go and get tested when you land and take a 5-day quarantine after that, that is the most protective against bringing COVID into the country or for travel. So what does that mean? Is that means there will be still some people on the airplane that will have COVID even though you tested before you leave, because testing's not 100%. So you have to think about that when you travel. So you're still going to be wearing a mask, even if you're vaccinated, even if you were tested. You'll be wearing a mask on the plane. Okay, so that's two things. And then the third thing is you'll have to realize you have to be tested before coming back to the United States. So you have to figure out where you're going to get that done. And then lastly, you'll have to see whether you can get a visa or not. For some countries that require visas, say, for instance, Japan, you're not going to get one right now. So international travel, you're going to have to really want to do it because there's a lot more hoops to go through to travel. Domestically, you also have to be a little bit careful. And there's one state in the U.S. that I would like to highlight for this, because somebody emailed me. Because they were going to Hawaii, and they were going to be working in Hawaii as soon as they got there, and so couldn't quarantine. So they got tested before they went, because Hawaii says if you get tested within 72 hours before going to Hawaii, that you don't have to quarantine. And this is one of our own states, right? And so they got tested, but it turns out Hawaii will only accept tests from certain places. And a lot of them aren't the major places that people get tested. And so even though you get the state of the art, the best PCR test possible from, say, from Wake Forest Baptist Health, Hawaii's not going to take it. So go on the website and find out which sites they'll take. Interestingly, some of the places that they'll take, such as CVS and Walgreens, you may not get your answer back before 72 hours. So you have to work before you go to Hawaii. You just can't pop on the plane and go because they'll make you quarantine and they enforce it. They call you every day. They look for you. And so if you need to work when, as soon as you get there, you won't be able to do it. In fact, there's a lot of states now here domestically. New York is developing a vaccine passport for just New York State. So they may require either vaccination or a test or quarantine. So every state's going to be a little bit different. So if you're contemplating travel, particularly if you're going by air, you might want to check and see what the state that you're going to wants to do. California is a bit more restrictive as far as quarantine and testing goes. So think about your travel before you travel. And then lastly, the CDC still recommends you don't travel because there's still enough COVID around. It's not the way to get it. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and open it up for questions for a minute. But I want to say next week, Dr. Ohl's taking some time off. And so we will take next week off for our briefing, and then we'll come back the week after. And hopefully I won't have to talk about the post-spring break, post-getting back to or having our state release some restrictions surge when we come back.